The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to the Big Scottish Football Podcast. It's episode 78. I'm Stephen Mill, he's Ewan Cameron. How we doing? We all right? We all good?
Yeah, good morning, Stephen Mill. It's lovely to be here. Because you know what's so good about the day?
What?
Is that I can be chilled and relaxed because Hearts didn't play at the weekend.
No,
our game's tonight.
Waiting to tonight to get put out.
So, no, Hearts will win tonight and book their place in the semi-final. We can talk about that next week. But I had a lovely chilled out weekend. Did you have a nice weekend?
Apart from the football. Football was stinking. Absolute rotten weekend of football.
You were unlucky in the football. We'll get to that. But apart from that, did you have a nice weekend? You must have spent some quality time with the wife.
Yesterday, I had one of those days where I had nothing planned and I literally did nothing apart from go to the shops, buy a couple of things, and then I sat on the couch and I watched football all day yesterday.
So did I. It was a great day of football in the Premiership and also in the Scottish Cup. But before we get to the football, can I get my movie stuff out, please? You need to stop this humming and hawing. People like my movie recommendations.
It's because of the Oscars last night.
Oscars were last night, and I'm not talking about Oppenheimer or Barbie or anything like that, or Poor Things.
Barbie famously wasn't nominated.
That's true, it was, and it should have been, no. And I felt sorry for Margot Robbie. I thought she deserved at least a nomination.
I thought it was a bit shite.
I thought Emma Stone deserved her Oscar for her performance in Poor Things. It's a very weird movie, but she's very good.
It's based on a Scottish novel?
Yes, it is, yes.
And then they've totally just taken all the Scottish bits out of it.
Yes, it's very bizarre.
Yeah.
But well done to the winners last night at the Oscar ceremony.
I'm sure they'll be happy and delighted to hear you say that.
Ryan Gosling performed I Am Ken. That was a big musical number. Yeah. And they won the Oscar for Best Original Song. Oppenheimer won 7 Oscars in total, but it's not what I want to talk about.
Well, I was going to say, please talk about what you're going to talk about.
So on Saturday, when I left you on the big Saturday football show, got on the train, went home, I had an empty house to myself, apart from my boy, my 14-year-old, but he was upstairs online with his
pals. He doesn't count as a human.
He is a human, but you barely see him. He's a teenager. He's upstairs online with his pals and playing games and stuff. So
he's upstairs being radicalised. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I was on wandering the stairs with the dog, just me and the dog.
Right, okay. And your dog famously weighs 50 kilos.
Well, it's 52 kilos now.
52 kilos, right.
So I was down the stairs and obviously I had the house to myself and I could do whatever I wanted and watch whatever
I
wanted.
I want to know where this is going.
Well, yes, because I had a shower.
Right.
I had a shower and I put my PJs on. I went down the stairs, sat on the sofa, put a wee throat over myself, and then I was flicking through the channels and there was a movie about to begin and the movie was called Anyone But You.
I might have seen that.
It's a rom-com. Now, I'm not a rom-com fan, although I will say this, Four Weddings and a Funeral was very good. I did like that from the 90s. Notting Hill isn't bad, but probably my favourite...
Oh, no, I've not seen that.
Okay, one of my favourite rom-coms of all time, actually, is My Best Friend's Wedding. It's a brilliant soundtrack and stars Julia Roberts.
Anyone But You, would you recommend it, yes or no?
Why are you in such a rush?
Because
I'm doing everyone
a favour.
This is rude because I'm trying to explain that...
Do you know what people do now? Do you know what people do?
They don't.
They comment on YouTube. And by the way, you're free to comment on YouTube anytime at Big Football Scott on Twitter if you fancy giving us a tweet. You know what they do though? On the YouTube one, I've noticed this. They're like, oh, 7 minutes 32. Then that's after the film review. And stuff like that. So people are like, thank you so much.
Yeah, but there's
a few. Because I can just spill through.
There's
forward.
A few, but there's a lot more people who love my movie recommendations. And I'm recommending the movie, Anything But You. It's an edgy rom-com. Right. Now, this rom-com is rated R because of the language throughout.
Sexual nature.
And brief graphic nudity and a lot of sexual content. So it's not your normal rom-com. It's very much aimed at adults and for an adult audience. Right. And I thought it was not too bad. And it's starring the woman of the moment, Sydney Sweeney, who is the next big star. I mean, the likes of Scarlett Johansson, Jennifer Lawrence and all that are very much established superstars. Sydney Sweeney is the next Jennifer Lawrence and Scarlett Johansson, and she stars in the movie. And I would just like to say it was enjoyable. And I think if you have a partner in your life, I would sit down this weekend and watch Anyone But You.
I watched Passengers on Saturday night with
That's
Jennifer
good.
Lawrence.
In space.
It's a lot of plot holes.
No.
It's a lot of plot holes.
But isn't it good? He's lonely. He's a lonely guy. He's on his own. He wakes up. He's a lonely
guy.
He basically goes
around the pods and thinks, she's quite hot.
I'll wake her up,
yeah, and ruin her life. Yeah, that's what I'll do, yeah. Aye, what a moral to the story that is. But there's so many plot holes. Like, for example, if anyone in the pods hadn't woken up, would the ship have just crashed and burned?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
There's so many inaccuracies.
Little bad movie, and who's the guy that's in it? It's Jennifer Lawrence.
It's Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my movie recommendation with Sydney Sweeney. It's very good.
Watch Passengers if you want.
And one other thing before we get to the football. Producer John, can you cue up the music, please?
Why do we have to have... What we got, Braveheart?
Heartbreak for Scotland in the rugby.
Not interested.
Heartbreak for Scotland in the rugby. What an opportunity for us to put the pressure on Ireland.
You and people aren't interested.
And had we beat Italy, we'd have been going for the ultimate decider against Ireland, who lost to England. So I was heartbroken on Saturday night, and that's why I sat and watched the rom-com and graphic sexual content, because it took my mind off what happened in Italy when we got beat by 32 points to 31.
Embarrassing.
It was heartbreak.
Embarrassing. And this is why nobody cares.
They do.
Well, it's
a nation cares. Did you see Twitter? We were trending on Twitter. Scotland was trending on Twitter. Finn Russell was trending on Twitter.
Embarrassing.
Gregor Townsend was trending on Twitter.
And humiliating result. Yet 2 days later, nobody cares.
They care
at the time.
They do. They're still talking about it today.
But anyway, don't make me do this again. What? Repeat after me.
Yeah. The big Scottish football podcast. But we talk about
it.
Football podcast. Football podcast. Right, stop pointing. Football. The big. The football. Big Scottish podcast. The Scottish podcast. Big football.
There we go. Right, okay. So we can.
But we talk about loads of things on the show.
Loads of correspondence coming in over the last week or so as well. Jack F 210 says, I came over from Spotify for all the chat about dances. Ewan looks like Michael Jackson having a stroke. What is happy about it? And for the sad dance, the less said, the better. Ian David Thompson says, I'm sick to death with Ewan's happy dancing, but I think he should be happy dancing for the neutral Wraith 2-0 win. Defo deserves a wee dance.
No.
From the weekend.
No,
that's what Ian David Thompson says.
No.
After asking where the phrase throwing the baby out with the bathwater comes from, Barry says this. Throwing the baby out with the bathwater comes from back in the day when the dad got to bathe first, being in the pit or ironworks all day or something, manual labour.
Yeah.
And the last one to bathe was the baby, and the water was so dirty it was hard to see the baby in it.
When I was a wee boy, I shared a flat with 8 people.
Okay.
And I would be one of the last people to get into the bath.
Yeah.
And it was Mocket. Okay. There was like a dark ring around the bath from the dark.
Yeah,
and because you didn't know any better.
Back in the olden days.
But when I look back now.
Exactly.
And we were using,
You make your toast at the fire and stuff like that as well. And when the air raid sirens came on, you had to black out the windows.
And what was that bubble bath, the wee sailor guy?
It was Mr. Matey.
Mr. Matey.
Yeah.
We were only allowed one blob of that in the bath.
Right, okay.
And then most of the time I'd get to the bath and the bubbles was already gone because everyone else had got the bath before
me. I can imagine. It's a bit manky, you know. Anyway, back to the movies. Alexander Campbell says, come on, guys, Indiana Jones was okay.
What's his name?
Alexander Campbell. It wasn't.
Alexander Campbell. It was passion.
Andy Taker says, I thought the new Indiana Jones was decent. Temple of Doom is my favourite, though.
Nah, the original's the best.
Wrong on both counts. Graham says, movie recommendation for Ewan. Have you seen The Creator? Being a fellow Star Wars fan, I think you may like it. It's a class movie.
Right. Is this not made by Zack Snyder? And he wanted to make a Star Wars movie and Disney told him to go get to. And then he went and made this film and apparently it's just a rip-off of A New Hope. Is that the one he's talking about? If it is, I've got no interest in it whatsoever.
Derek FM88 says, hi guys, love the podcast. Thank you very much. One thing on Ewan's movie recommendations. Why does he see no issue in giving spoilers to movies and TV shows he recommends we watch, but tells us nothing about a movie we shouldn't watch? The man's method of thinking knows no bounds. Which is true, because you mentioned a really rubbish movie and you were like, I'm not even going to tell you about it. Whereas the ones that you recommend, you just give away the entire plot pretty much. He also speaks very fondly of my impressions and not so much of yours. DVD Ecosse says, Stephen has touched on one of my eternal movie gripes with the father of the bride analogy.
What was that again?
So we were kind of talking about, you were talking about your pots and pans last week and how you shouldn't use metal utensils on them.
Yes.
And I was like, well, it's probably like some sort of low-level conspiracy where the people for the pots and pans company have got together with the utensil company and went, keep making metal ones because obviously they'll ruin the pan and that means that people will buy more pans. Anyway, I gave the example of Father of the Bride, where Steve Martin goes to the supermarket, he buys three packs of 12 buns, but takes four out each to presumably match the three tins of eight hot dogs that he's bought.
Yes.
So that would add up. All he had to do was buy two packs of 12 buns, and then he'd have 24 buns and 24 hot dogs and saved himself a night in the cells. Maybe it's meant to add to the comedy value, but it's always bugged me. So there we go. But
so a plot hole.
A plot hole indeed. Mm-hmm. Now, remember Mick, who got in touch with the American bug guy he met in Georgia, whose granddad played with Hearts? Remember
that's right.
I was telling you about this last week.
Yes.
Well, the bug guy has been in touch. So he was, I think, the Hearts fan.
He knocked on the door.
So 5.7 Heaven says, can't believe my interaction at work last weekend made it to the podcast. Willie Duff is my grandfather, and it was a pleasure to meet Mick. Thank you to you guys for putting our little interaction out there.
Amazing.
The pleasure is all ours.
Well, it's a small world. There they are in the United States. They happen to accidentally bump
in
into
Georgia,
each other.
Of all places.
And they both listen to the podcast.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
So a Hearts and a Celtic fan in Georgia. And by the way, listen, we always like hearing from wherever you are in the world. You can always leave your comments on YouTube. If there's any wee funny stories you want to tell us as well, then please do get in touch. And also as well, any feedback. We love your feedback.
Good or bad.
The review of the week comes from Ziggs the Wolf 9590. And it just simply says Ewan is a spoonhead. So there we are. Let's take a wee look at the weekend's football. Let's go in chronological order, shall we? We'll start on Saturday lunchtime. What turned out to be Neil Warnock's final game for Aberdeen was a 3-1 win against Kilmarnock. In terms of the football itself, I mean, it was a big win for Aberdeen, obviously, and they'll be delighted to get through at the semi-finals. It was finally stopped doing that. It's really, really obnoxious.
Well, I have already said that producer John, your numpty, stop stapling bits of paper together because it causes an issue here in the studio.
Right, okay, why is it such an issue that it's all bundled together rather than one mess? Because you're just going to lose it, Ewan. I know what you like.
Think of the environment, that metal thing that you just stuck in that bit of paper.
I mean, if we're thinking of the environment, he'd just send us the scripts digitally, I would imagine.
Anyway, stop stapling the fucking script
together. What's your issue with the staple?
Just stop it.
Anyway.
What's your issue with?
Anyway, Aberdeen versus Kilmarnock at Pittodrie, 12:15 kickoff. Everyone expected a shock.
And, well, not a shock, really. Kilmarnock, everyone had Kilmarnock as favourites because they've already beaten Aberdeen, three times already this season.
True.
But Aberdeen played really well, I thought, on Saturday. Deserved to win. They were a wee bit shaky after Kilmarnock pulled a goal back. And then, obviously, the third one killed it.
I was surprised at Kilmarnock. It felt like they didn't turn up.
Yeah, they just...
Aye, is it the kickoff time? Was it? Did they go up the night before? Did they go up in the morning?
I would assume they went up the night before. There was a big Kilmarnock travelling support as well. I think 1,500, 2,000 or something like that as well. And then obviously we were on air on the big Saturday football show. And then I was like, Neil Warnock's left.
And what was that like? I'm going, you're at it.
It was Andrew McLean from Super Scoreboard had put something in the chat and I was like, yep, Neil Warnock's away.
I didn't believe you.
Also, the report, this long-awaited report, has not quite been published by Aberdeen, but they have put out a statement this morning. So it's the guy who was involved in basically setting up Hoffenheim to be what they are today, which is a sort of established Bundesliga club who worked alongside the likes of Ralf Rangnick and boys like that. So he is the man who's been commissioned with the report. They put out a sort of interim statement this morning, Aberdeen saying that they're hoping to appoint a manager, or they expect to appoint a manager during the international break.
Listen, that statement you're talking about they put this morning, it said bugger all.
Well,
I said nothing.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying...
If you're an Aberdeen fan, you're raging at that statement. and it leaves a lot just open to interpretation.
A wee bit of timeline on what's going to happen next is all I was doing.
Yeah, I know, but don't you think that statement was pish?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't really say anything.
No. I know what you're saying. You're putting meat on the bones, but you're making it sound better than it actually is.
No, but what I'm saying as well is that they'll have a new manager in the next couple of weeks.
Right, so they're clearly way down the road in appointing this manager.
Oh, they did say they're going to be conducting interviews this week, which suggests that they're not as far down the road as what I thought they were on Saturday.
So here's the thing about Neil Warnock, and I've read a lot of conspiracies and chat that's been on social media.
Do with hot dogs and buns?
Nothing to do with that. It was all about Warnock.
Pots and pans.
Did Warnock get sacked? Did they get rid of him? And that's what a lot of Aberdeen fans believe, that he was getting sacked no matter what happened on
clearly
Saturday.
He did.
Yeah. So was he sacked?
Yeah.
Or was it him that ultimately made the decision? Or did they come to some mutual agreement where he knew his time was up?
I think that's probably the truth. I think...
A bit of both.
A bit of both. Where they were like, listen, this isn't working. This isn't happening. This isn't working.
Because they paid him his full money. See if somebody walks out the door, you don't pay him their full money.
Is that not true? Oh, yeah.
Well, if you resign tomorrow, you don't get paid your money. If you're the one that makes the decision...
But if Aberdeen are wanting rid of you as well, Neil Warnock's probably going to them and went, listen, this isn't happening. Let's work out a deal.
Let me go.
And then I'll save a bit of face. You'll save a bit of face as well. And I think that's what's happened. But it's been a disaster. Like, Neil Warnock has been an absolute disaster.
But do you think he cares?
No, because I don't think he looked like he cared at any point during this tenure and as Aberdeen manager.
If I'm an Aberdeen boss, i.e. if I'm a Dave Cormack or if I'm somebody that's on the board or if I'm an Alan Burrows or whatever, I would be shit scared what Warnock might say in the next couple of days or next week, because he is going to be asked the question, whether it be on a Talk Sport or whether it be on a BBC Five Live or whatever, or he's going to do a newspaper article down south about his experience of being at Aberdeen. If I'm a Dave Cormack or an Alan Burrows or whoever else is in, or the gun boy, I would be worried I think he's a type of person that might just throw everybody under a bus and give his opinion on what he thinks Aberdeen
is. I suspect that he's probably signed a...
Do you think an NDA? Do you think that Warnock, the type of guy that he is going to sign an NDA and not be allowed to say anything?
Well...
Do you think he's that type?
In that case, like, you know... I mean, from Aberdeen's point of view, they would want that.
I know, but would he have done it?
Well...
At his age, 76, I think he gives a shit.
Well, yeah, I know what you're saying.
If he hasn't signed an NDA, I'm worried if I'm an Aberdeen...
Dave Cormack won't be worried because, like, you know, he owns the club, so he's not going anywhere. Like, Dave Cormack isn't going anywhere, let's be honest. No. He's worth half a billion or whatever he is. But I do think I think that Dave Cormack and Alan Burrows as well has to take a share of the responsibility here as well. And your boy Stephen Gunn, who's the head of sort of football operations or whatever it is. I mean, they've got some massive questions to answer because this has been a shambles. All the way back to Stephen Glass.
Right.
And they pushed Derek McInnes out the door because of the style of football and all the rest. And yeah, it maybe got to the end of the period of time. He'd been there for quite a long time. Maybe they wanted to freshen things up. Fine. Stephen Glass comes in. Disaster.
Yeah.
Absolute disaster. Jim Goodwin comes in. Absolute disaster.
Yeah.
Barry Robson comes in. Initially, obviously, gets a wee bounce. Gets them into third. This season has been... a disaster.
Yeah.
Neil Warnock comes in. Disaster. What are they doing?
Yeah. It's going to be a really interesting couple of weeks at Aberdeen. It's one to keep an eye on, but they can't get this one wrong. But I think you're right.
Do you think they'll go for a sort of tried and tested? I mean, it doesn't look like Neil Lennon's going to be in for it. I mean, all that I'm reading is that, like, he's not one of the candidates, even though that was strongly rumoured last week, obviously. Do you think they'll go for maybe somebody like Stephen Robinson? Or they might go for... Or will they go for somebody abroad?
What, left field?
Yeah. Oh, not necessarily left field, but somebody with an experience, European manager.
I was putting forward Neil Lennon at the weekend, and the reason I was putting forward Neil Lennon is that no matter what you think of Neil Lennon, and how the two jobs that he did in Scotland, how it ultimately ended, he did a great job at Celtic. He did a very good job at Hibernian. He knows the Scottish Premiership. He knows Scottish football. I think he'd be a good appointment. I also think that Stephen Robinson would be a good appointment as well, for the same reasons that Neil Lennon would be good for Aberdeen. I think you're going with someone tried and trusted there, whereas their previous managers
Why do they have to go for somebody like who's worked in Scottish football?
Well, just look at what they've done recently.
Look
at the mess they've been in the last four managers.
Okay, fair enough.
Look at Clement. He's done a great job at Rangers.
I was just going to say, I'll give you another example. Rangers appointed Michael Beale, who knew the club inside out, was a disaster.
That's a good point.
Then they appointed Philip Clement. Nothing to do with Scottish football. Coming in for the outside. Yeah, fair enough. A good European pedigree. Was at Monaco, Club Bruges, whatever. Yeah. He's come in and done a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. So why don't they go down that route?
You're right. I can't argue that point. You've made a good point.
You know, I'm being facetious, but I think any sort of managerial appointment is a risk. It doesn't matter what. If they appoint Neil Lennon, you're saying he did a good job at Hibs and a good job at Celtic. I'm sure you'll find many Celtic fans disagree. But I think that ultimately, Neil Lennon's not a long-term appointment. You look at every single job that he's been in.
True.
He'll start pretty well, but then it all blows up. And then it all goes a bit off the rails.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be going anywhere near.
So you're going left field. You're going a Clement route.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Aberdeen aren't going to be able to appoint somebody with the pedigree of
Clement. I agree with that.
But I would go somewhere a wee bit left field because...
Right. New ideas, fresh ideas.
Somebody who's got experience. You know, I'm not saying just pluck somebody out of obscurity that hasn't got any experience. Somebody who's had a track record of success elsewhere.
What about Robbie Nielsen? He's in America just now. Would he come back for it? Would he go for him?
Oh, I think Robbie Nielsen would come back for the Aberdeen job. I mean, he's in Tampa at the moment.
Do you think Aberdeen would be tempted with Robbie Nielsen?
It's not... I never even thought of Robbie Nielsen. And obviously, it flies in the face of just what I've said. But I think Robbie Nielsen has got an unbelievable record in Scottish football.
Yeah.
He's won the championship three times.
Yeah.
Got third. Every time when he's been had a full season in the top flight, he's finished third.
No lower than fourth.
Had a disaster at MK Dons, but I think Robbie Nielsen might be somebody that they're targeting, and I think he would be a very good appointment. He's got a track record of consistently finishing high up in the Scottish Premiership, and with the budget that Aberdeen have, I think Robbie Nielsen would probably do quite a good job there. Now, again, that just completely contradicts what I've just said about going for something different. But if they are wanting to go down the Ewan Cameron route, I think Robbie Nielsen should probably be at the top of their
See,
list.
See, sometimes I can say things.
Yeah, but you were going with Neil Lennon, and I think that's an awful.
I don't even know where Robbie Nielsen came in my head there. Boom.
Yeah,
it was like a wee light bulb went off.
I'm actually going to Tampa next month.
Go on a wee chat with Robbie when you're there.
He might be Aberdeen manager by then.
Give him my best.
Their season, I think, is just about getting underway.
Why are you going to Tampa?
Because I'm going to America for 10 days or so.
With the wife?
And I've never been to Tampa. Well, I'm actually going to St. Petersburg, which is just next to Tampa. So.
No. You hear this, producer John A? No bad for some.
I'm going on a holiday.
I'm going to Tampa.
Can I hide that podcast money?
That's what it is. It just goes into a big holiday pot every single week. So anyway, Aberdeen through the next round. Kilmarnock obviously got league business to attend to in that battle for fourth place with St. Mirren. Let's move on to the games yesterday. Celtic made heavy weather of this against Livingston. 4-2 it ended up.
Late goals.
Maeda getting a hat-trick, obviously, as well. Yeah, a couple of goals in the last 10 minutes. Celtic through for the 9th time in a decade to a Scottish Cup semi-final. So 9 out of 10 Scottish Cup semi-finals for Celtic. And Livingston, though, put up a pretty decent fight, I thought. Even after Celtic took an early lead, I thought Livingston had actually started the game pretty well. It's just not happening. It's happening because they're through, but it's not really happening. Even Brendan Rodgers after the game was not happy with that performance.
And neither were the fans, but again, you've scored 4 goals. You could have scored 9. I mean, they create enough chances.
I know.
I know what you mean in regards to the actual overall performance over the 90 minutes, but at the end of the day, you've got through the semi-finals and only really matters what happens when you get to Hampden. And we'll find out who they get tonight.
How big a problem is it if Callum McGregor is going to be out for the rest of the season. Now, we don't have that. We don't have that confirmed.
No, it's just rumour just
There's
now.
There's lots of rumours about that just now. Callum McGregor being out. And I know he's probably not been on top form for Celtic this season.
You still miss him, though.
But Callum McGregor's such an important player.
He was my player of the year last year. I think that if the rumours are true that he is out for the season, that's a massive blow for Celtic. But I'll be honest with you, I don't really care about Celtic. I want him ready for the Euros. Mm-hmm. And I'm scared that this might jeopardise his Euros place. I don't even know what the injury is.
No.
Is it a hamstring? Was it an ankle? Is it a calf? What is it? I don't know. Does anyone actually know what the injury is?
Well, Callum McGregor will know. And Celtic will know.
Yeah, but I don't think it's been officially released yet. I don't think they've actually said. Has anyone actually said, this is what's wrong with Callum McGregor, and we think he'll be out for X amount of days or
weeks?
It
looks like
a
calf Achilles injury, and he's been sent for a scan. That was the latest.
That was what
Brendan Rodgers said last week.
Achilles can be an awful one. It can be a bad one. Listen, it'll be bad for Celtic if he doesn't get back into that team ahead of the... and what is going to be a fantastic end to the campaign in the league title race. It'll be a shame for Celtic and for him, but I'm more worried about Scotland because he is our guy.
What Brendan Rodgers said, he was like, fingers crossed we can get to the bottom of the issue. Paraphrasing.
Right. See, that's not good. By saying if we can get to the bottom, that means there's an issue there.
And hopefully he'll be available after the international break. Celtic Rangers on April the 7th.
So... with that rumour circulating yesterday, Celtic haven't put anything out to dispute it, have they?
Well, no, they've just said that hopefully we'll be back after the international break. Now, obviously, like, technically, after the international break could be September, you know? You know what I mean? So, like...
I think next time that Brendan Rodgers sits down in front of the media, somebody will ask him, because that rumour is now circulating, so they're going to have to put that one to bed one way or another.
Livingston out, but they made a bit of money for yesterday at least, and they didn't disgrace themselves.
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
Right, let's get on to the final game of the weekend in the Scottish Cup. It was Hibs 0, Rangers 2. We will get to the VAR decisions and the penalty and red cards and all the stuff. We'll get to that in just a wee bit. Rangers, so comfortable in that first half.
Oh, Hibs, embarrassment. Now, what were you thinking?
Like, first half, I just thought Rangers were in such control. I think, to be fair, and Martin Boyle, by the way, is apparently stable in hospital,
yes,
which is great news. So it looks like he's on the mend, because it looked like a really sore one. Yeah, I think that kind of knocked the stuffing out of Hibs a wee bit.
Yeah.
And then obviously there was 9 minutes added on, and Rangers just comfortably saw out the half, like Hibs barely touched the ball. Second half, though, I thought Hibs came out first 50 minutes of the second half like a completely different side, and they should have started like that.
My complete and utter shock at Hibs was that start. They know that Rangers were in Portugal on Thursday night, and that took a lot out of them.
Same starting 11 as well.
Same starting 11. And that took a lot out of them, because I thought against Benfica, after 75 minutes, Rangers looked a bit tired because they put so much into the game to get themselves in a position where they were drawn with the Portuguese champions. And I thought that Hibs, who've got a full week to prepare for this, would come out the traps in their face from the first second, flying into tackles, putting them under pressure, because they've got pace in that team. They've got a goal threat in that team. I was shocked at the start. It was piss poor. And Neil Lennon was right in what he said in his halftime analysis. They have to remember this is a cup tie. Mm-hmm. And that Rangers just played a really tough game there. In Portugal, what are they thinking? They clearly heard Neil Lennon, and they clearly listened to Nick Montgomery, because he came out in the second half, a much better team, created a couple of half-decent chances, although Butland's not really the save to make, apart from that free kick that he got across to. But I wish they'd started that in the first seconds.
Really,
because I'm going to put my hand up here, and Stephen will back me up here. I thought Hibs at 92 were a great price at Easter Road, especially with Rangers having played Benfica on Thursday. And I put a wee bet on Hibs to win, because 92, I thought, was huge. And... yeah, I lost my money.
Yeah,
so betting's for mugs and idiots like me, so don't do it.
Obviously, James Tavernier missing a penalty, which doesn't happen very often.
Well done to lose from them, follow up.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that. I mean, Hibs will be kicking themselves, because there's nothing worse, I think, than somebody following in from a penalty and them scoring.
If
from a defensive point of view, it just shouldn't happen.
See, Marshall has gone mental.
Quite right. But yeah, Lundstrom doing really well, getting in, sliding in.
And obviously,
Silva, good goal, good finish.
Talking to Lundstrom, I am gobsmacked they've not signed him up for next season.
Well, I would imagine they'll be speaking to him.
They're, and do you see when he celebrated, he's pointing at the badge. That's like as if to say, I'm a Rangers man, I want to be here. So he was sending a message, a subtle message, that he wants to stay at Rangers.
I take stuff like that with a pinch of salt.
He was running, and he pulled his jersey, and he was pointing at the
Jen
badge.
Jen could be a Rangers man if somebody offered him double the money down south.
But he was...
He'd be pointing to Brentford or whoever it is. Like, you know.
But I don't think he is the player of the year.
I think he's had a cracking season.
He's had a cracking season, and he's certainly going to be in the shortlist for player of the year. He's been that good, and he's been key to everything under Clement for how good Rangers have been. For me, Shanklin is still the player of the year, but I think Lundstrom is certainly in the conversation because he's been that good for them.
Rangers through the semi-finals then again, and the treble is still on for Rangers. Already got the League Cup, obviously top of the league as well, and now into the semi-finals. Morton versus Hearts tonight, to very quickly, Ewan Cameron, you've got a wee bet with George Bowie.
George Bowie from Bowie at Breakfast on Clyde One. He brought me into the studio this morning. Oh, I want a wee bet with you. We forfeit about Hearts and Morton. I went, well, you're going to lose, mate, because Hearts are going to pump Morton tonight.
Yeah. I think Hearts will win comfortably.
I think Hearts will score at least 3 or 4 goals tonight. I think it'll be treated like a training game, warm ourselves up for when the games that really matter come up at the weekend, and then we've got a semi-final to look forward to. Tonight is an easy win for us. I think their cup final was against Motherwell, and they did really well to win that game. But when you've got the quality that Hearts have got, and you've got Shanklin up top, listen, seeing that first 20 minutes, I expect Morton to come out, all guns blazing. They've got the full stadium. They're going to throw into flying tackles.
If Oakley's fit, and I don't know
it's
if
it's irrelevant whether he's fit or not,
I think he's got the potential to cause a few problems for Hearts tonight.
Talking of Oakley, it'll be Shankland with the Oakleys on at the end of the night.
Right, let's move on to the Championship then. And
Come on, that was good! That was good.
It wasn't. Let's move on to the Championship. So let's talk titles. Dundee United, 4-0 winners against bottom of the table, Arbroath. So good win. Obviously, they won against Morton during the week as well at Capello. So it's been a good week for Dundee United. They are back on track in terms of what they're trying to do, i.e. win the league. So they're 4 points clear at the top. They have played a game more than Raith Rovers. Raith Rovers have won a fifth Fife derby of the season. Which is depressing.
They did deserve it. They did not deserve to beat you lot. And listen, I like sitting here and winding you up, but I have to be honest and call it as I see it. Raith Rovers were lucky to get the win. I thought yous were very, very good. You deserved something out of the game.
I thought we...
Their keeper made a fucking wonder save.
I was going to get onto that. I thought Dunfermline controlled...
You controlled
A lot of the game without doing anything, though. Like, we looked a bit toothless. Chris Kane being out is a big one.
You were good, though, Stephen.
Raith Rovers took their chances, and we didn't. In terms of the save, if you've not seen the save from Kevin Dubrovsky in Raith Rovers' goal, it's genuinely one of the saves of the season.
Easy.
You know, to like an absolute rifle of a shot.
Top corner.
And Dubrovsky manages to tip over. It was 1-0 at that stage. That goes in, it's 1-1. You know, who
it's
knows
a different
what could
game.
Happen. But at the end of the day, Raith Rovers are unfortunately a better team than Dunfermline.
But
they
still won't win the league, and they will not get promoted.
Partick Thistle during the week. They play Partick Thistle on Tuesday night. That's their game in hand at Fir Hill.
Nah, they'll get beat.
And then they're away at Queen's Park, I think, next Saturday as well.
So two away games. The next two are away games.
Yes, both in Glasgow. So Partick Thistle are 7 without a win. And they did come back from 2 goals down against Queen's Park on Saturday. Brian Graham with a penalty to square it up at 2-2, but 7 games without a win, so they're sort of falling away. They should still be fine for the playoffs,
yes.
But they're only 4 points in front of Airdrie now, which actually is nothing. Airdrie drawn with Inverness 0-0 on Saturday as well, so even though Dunfermline got beat, from a purely Dunfermline point of view, you know, the other results sort of didn't really matter because, you know, Ayr weren't playing and the other two finished in draws. So it wasn't a disastrous weekend in terms of the league table. But as we've mentioned so many times on the podcast, it's looking so tight. There's only 6 points between 4th and 9th. So there's 6 points between the relegation playoff and the promotion playoff, which is ludicrous, right? So it's a couple of matches. Now, we are running out of matches. There's only 8 matches left for most of the division, or some of the division, and 9 matches for everyone else. So, yes. So, John, why have you put this stat on it here?
What's that?
Raith Rovers That's their fifth Fife Derby win of the season, meaning they've won as many Fife Derbies in 197 days as Dunfermline have in 4,084.
That's a good start.
That's a brilliant start.
That's a great start, Stephen.
Yes, that's a brilliant start, mate. Good stuff. That's why you're the producer of the show.
Exactly.
For, I mean, stuff like that.
It's not John's start. He's clearly taken it from somewhere
else.
Doesn't
matter. You had to research and find it.
Thanks, Ewan.
You're not even crediting the source, which is terrible.
So you're just reading that again. They've won as many Fife Derbies in 197 days as Dunfermline have won in the last 4,084. Great start.
That's a great start. That's one of the stats of the season.
I think on the overall head-to-head, Raith Rovers are only three behind Dunfermline now as
Oh, really?
Well, they're catching up then.
They're catching up. So, yeah, it's Raith Rovers' season, definitely. In terms of League One, Falkirk, when can you win the league? Not this coming weekend. Maybe the next weekend you can win
it? Depends on the Hamilton results.
But obviously,
It's looking like Montrose away on the 31st of March. If they keep matching us, that's the kind of earliest that we can win it.
Right, okay, because another win for Falkirk on Saturday. Saturday. Big crowd taken to Stirling Albion, I saw
over
as well.
Over 2,000?
Yes, exactly. So Falkirk just about clinching the title. Stirling beaten this season 2-1 against Stirling Albion, it was on Saturday. Hamilton did win eventually against Edinburgh City by a goal to nil. Montrose, their cracking run continues. 4-1 winners against Cove Rangers. Looks like they're going to be in the playoffs. Wouldn't fancy meeting them if I was finishing 9th in the Championship.
Oh, what's happened to Queen of the South?
They're having a shocker. So another defeat on Saturday, this time against Annan. And it makes it a wee bit tight at the bottom. So Edinburgh City are gone. They're going to be playing League 2 football next season. They've only got 5 points. Annan are on 26 points. They have picked up of late, and they're only 4 points behind Queen of the South, who they beat 2-1 on Saturday. Marvin has had a pretty shocking time over the last few weeks. It's not been going well for Marvin Bartley, and they're now only 4 points ahead of Annan. And Celtic and Stirling Albion are only a further point ahead. So they're only 5 points ahead as well. So it could be a wee bit interesting between now and the end of the season. Kelty lost 3-0 to Alloa on Saturday, who are in fourth position. So there we are. That is League One for you.
It wasn't that long ago that we were talking about a great run that Queen of the South were on and were knocking on the door of the playoffs. And look how quickly that changes.
Absolutely. So they are mega struggling. No chance of the right playoffs. No. In League Two, it is time to hand over to our man with the finger on the button. It's been a good week for President Joe Biden with the State of the Union and all the rest of it. But he still took time to give us our League Two roundup.
That air-greed-loving idiot Donald Trump has accused me of being on drugs. I mean, I don't know what he was talking about. I was talking to my trusted advisor, Ed, the horse, and he said I should sue. Anyway, I tell you what, Steny, I've come off the boil. It's just one win and five now after the 0-0 draw with Spartans. We are only 10 points away from winning the title, though, so fingers crossed. The fish lovers, Peter Head, are back up to second after beating Stranraer, while Elgin continued to make Burrow Briggs a fortress. They have 186% of their points there and beat Bonnyrigg Rose at the weekend. Jobbing Culls boys were beaten by Forfar and are 6 points adrift at the bottom after some decent wins recently. And we love Dick on the Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Me too.
Campbell, that is, East Fife beat Dumbart in the last minute thanks to Nathan Austin. And they are now 5 without loss. They might even make the playoffs. That's me for today. What's that, Ed? It says, hi, guys. Smell you later, Ewan and Stephen, and remember, God bless League Two.
Thank you very much, Mr. President, and Ed the Horse there as well. We should probably mention as well, Darren Lang, who went viral on Friday.
Bang, bang, Darren Lang!
Bang, bang, Darren Lang. We'll retweet it from the podcast account, A Big Football Scott, if you've not seen it. He was on the bench on Saturday.
Especially when he's a bang, bang, Derek
he's
Lang.
He's bang, bang, Darren Lang.
Aye.
And he was on the bench, which is very, very stupid. Right, let's move on to some refereeing decisions, shall we?
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Right, okay. In terms of VAR, WTF.
Oh, have I put the wrong beds on?
No, it's all right. It's fine.
All right. I tell you what, John. Hold on,
John, I wasn't even wanting to bring it up. I was just going to suggest maybe you could bring the music up in the background.
Hold on.
You could fade that one down.
La gente está muy loca.
Right, okay, right. Yeah. Just do that.
John, why did you even highlight the mistake? I didn't even notice.
I was too busy looking for the Darren Lang song, and I found the Darren Lang song.
All right, well, we can play that in just a wee second after we do VRWTF. So, in terms of the big ones at the weekend, Celtic Livingston, there was a couple of shouts for offside.
No.
But, they were checked and they were onside.
Yeah.
Shinny for Aberdeen. Was he booked for diving? Was he booked for moaning?
Was he booked for screaming at the referee of some obscenities and because he was upset about not getting a free kick? I'm not sure whether it was. What was he booked for? Because he's missing the Scottish Cup semi final now.
The commentary said diving, but I don't know if that's official.
I'm not sure that's the case.
Anyway, he's out for the semi final.
He's out for the semi because you can't do nothing for a second yellow.
Which is a big loss for Aberdeen in the middle of the park. Right, Hibs 0, Rangers 2. Let's start with the penalty for Rangers.
Penalty.
So, Michael Stewart on commentary did not think it was a penalty. So, Obita sort of came in behind Sterling. Sterling fell down. Don't think there was much contact where there was no trip or anything.
It's okay. It's more a penalty than Yang last week against Celtic. I still think it's softish.
It's a low bar.
No, but I still think it's softish, but I think it's a penalty. Now, and I think that Michael Stewart and Co Coms, you couldn't be more wrong if you tried. And then what does he do? What does he do? He goes back to an incident before the penalty that involves Diamandé and Martin Boyle. Martin Boyle doesn't even get touched by Diamandé, and he's trying to back up his claim that it's not a penalty because, oh, look what happened 30 seconds ago. That should have been a free kick. Well, if that's not a free kick, well, that's not a penalty. He made an ass of it, Michael Stewart. And because I think he realised he made an ass of it, he couldn't bring himself to admit he was wrong. Now, even me, I say some stupid things on this show, right? And I've been known to say stupid things on Twitter, but I will admit to being wrong. When I get it wrong, I put my hands up. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I got it wrong. I'll tweet. I got it wrong. When I say something daft, I'll say I got it wrong. I'm daft. I'm a fud. I'm this and that.
I agree with you. I think it was soft.
Yes.
But the fact he gave a penalty, he was never going to overturn it. Like, there wasn't enough to overturn it, I don't think.
There wasn't a clear and obvious error to overturn it.
The fact that he gave it, he was never going to overturn it.
What's Obita doing? The Sterling's in the box. He's got his head up. He's either going to take a shot or he's going to square it to somebody.
What I would say,
Obita's got way too tight and close.
What I would say, the incident in the second half with Goldson is not too dissimilar.
He never got anywhere near the same as Obita.
It's not too dissimilar. Now, again, I don't think it was a penalty. I don't think there was much in it at all.
But do you think a beta on Sterling is? Don't say no. Don't be Michael Stewart.
I think it's soft.
don't be Michael Stewart.
I think it's soft.
So, John, are you going to be a Michael Stewart? Are you going to be a Ewan Cameron?
I'm with you, Ewan.
Good lad.
Yeah.
Okay. But the Goldson one in the second half was similar. And no penalty was given. I think if you're given one, you have to give the other.
Oh, do you think that?
Yeah.
Now, that's an interesting argument. I'm kind of with Stephen on that one, because I thought the Goldson one looked a bit iffy as well.
I thought, I don't think there was much in it. I don't think there was much in it. But if you're given that one, I think you have to give the other one. The example that Michael Stewart gave was nonsense, obviously. But I think that if you're given that penalty, you have to give the one on Goldson in the second half.
Mm.
I don't think there was much in it. I don't think either were.
Was a beta more of a penalty?
No, I don't think it was. I think they were similar. I think they're both clumsy. I think Obita was clumsy, and I think Goldson was really clumsy as well. He was all over the back of the guy. Now, I don't think there was much. There was no trip.
No.
There was no trip on Obita.
There was contact.
There wasn't a trip, though, is what I'm saying.
But he's right up in between his legs. Do you know what it reminded me of?
And so was
Goldson. Do you know what it reminded me of? Do you remember Zola Budd and Mary Decker?
No, because I wasn't born.
Right. In the 1984 Olympics, Zola Budd was running for the United Kingdom, and she used to run in bare feet. And she was running in bare feet in the final of, I think it was the 1,500 metres, possibly. And Mary Decker, who was the darling of United States athletics and was expected to win gold at our home Olympics, gets too close to Zola Budd, a bit like Obita on Sterling. So imagine
right.
that Mary Decker.
I'm absolutely fascinated to see where this is going.
Mary Decker is Obita.
Right.
And Zola Budd is Sterling.
Right.
And Mary Decker got way too close behind Zola Budd when running on the track, and she stumbled and fell over. Did Mary Decker.
Right.
And that's, well...
Right, okay.
Right, so what I'm saying...
I'm sorry, Ewan.
There was a tangle of legs.
You cannot...
There was a tangle of legs.
You cannot sit there...
There was a tangle of legs.
You cannot sit there and spear Michael Stewart for giving a shite example to back up a point and then hit out with Mary Decker and Zola Budd. You can't do that.
My point is, she got too close... And there was a tangle of legs.
And so when
you get that close,
and you've got
a ball at your feet, and you get that close to somebody where you're basically joined at the hip.
I understand what you're saying. But what I'm saying is, I thought Goldson was really clumsy and got too close as well.
Was he as close as a beater? Was he? John, so, tell me.
What's John going to say? He's not got the footage in front of him.
You and I are of differing opinions. He's going to have the final say.
No, I'm with Stephen on this
shut
one.
Up,
I
you.
Am with Stephen.
Why don't you two go and have a dinner and a drink with Michael Stewart?
Well, why don't you go and speak to him and you can compare shite examples to back up points? You've got more in common with Michael Stewart than we have. The Souter Boyle incident. Obviously, it was just... I think it was one of those really unfortunate things.
Yeah, it was.
So, as we said, Martin Boyle, stable in hospital. We mentioned the Goldson one. Obita's second yellow card on Matondo. Cameron.
I thought that... Right, I went onto Twitter and I said, for me, that's soft. If that's against a Hearts player, I'm raging he's getting sent off for that. But I thought Neil Lennon made a really interesting point about Obita... with his persistent fouling. And there was an incident just before that involving McCausland, who was injured, and the physio. And Obita went over and confronted both McCausland and the Rangers physio, like pushing him off the pitch and that. And he could have got a yellow card for that. The referee then pulls him aside along with the captain, Joe Newell, and says, probably said to Joe Newell, do you know, see him, Obita? You need to tell him to calm down. You need to tell him to calm down. And what happens a minute or so later? He goes and does that. And the referee just probably went, oh... Right, I've given you so many chances, right, you get it.
Well, I think that's a ludicrous way to referee football matches.
It was in no way a yellow card. But no, what I'm saying is, but if it's for persistent fouling.
And Stephen McLean completely lost control of the match for about 10 minutes. Kemar Roof came on, and he was on the pitch for about 20 seconds, and they booked him. And it was so not a booking. Stephen McLean lost the plot for about 10 minutes. And completely lost control of the game and killed the game as a result. Because Obita should not have got a second yellow card for that. What are you doing?
I was going to show you Zola Budd and Mary Decker.
Put your fucking phone away. Put your phone away.
But I want to show you that video.
I've seen it.
Well, you just said that you were alive at the time.
I know, but you said, do you remember it? And I'm like, well, no, I don't remember it.
This is the best way to explain what happened with Obita and Sterling. Look. Watch that.
I've seen this.
Look. Is that not Obita and Sterling and she falls over?
Well, no, because...
Look at that.
Because...
Look at that.
She's fallen over. Because...
And she's on the deck.
But in what case is Mary Decker Obita? Because Obita wasn't the one that fell over.
It was Sterling.
It was Sterling.
Yeah, but reverse
so,
it.
I, exactly, your point's shite. Second yellow card. I don't think it was a yellow card.
You don't think it's a yellow?
No, it wasn't.
But if you take Lennon, Neil Lennon, if you take what he said, which I didn't take into consideration, Neil has said his persistent fouling, it was coming.
Right, but you just said right at the start of this that it wasn't a yellow card. No, and I said, I don't think it was a yellow card.
In isolation, I don't think it is. But if you take it...
I thought Stephen McLean lost the plot.
At that point.
Because he'd booked Kemar Roof for nothing. Like, Kemar Roof came on and booked him for... Like, he didn't even touch the guy.
Yeah.
And he got booked for it. Or he barely touched the guy and got booked for it.
Yeah.
And then about a few minutes later, he sent off Obita.
Yeah.
The referee lost control of the game. It was really poor refereeing.
I still think it's a harsh yellow card for a sending off. I will give you that.
And then, obviously, Mariah Welsh goes steaming in. Again...
That's a red card for me.
There wasn't much contact, but
the way he threw himself, the legs in the air.
And because, as I've already mentioned, Stephen McLean had lost the plot by this stage, he was always going to red card them. It was a red card. It was stupid.
Why are you flying into a tackle there with both feet off the pitch? I mean, Lundstrom's lucky his season didn't end there and then.
Really stupid challenge by Mariah Welsh. And as I say, Stephen McLean had lost the plot by that stage, so was always going to send him off. So there you are. That is VAR at WTF. Do we have Darren Lang lined up? John,
we do indeed.
So, in case you missed this, Darren Lang has been a Stranraer striker. He signed from Lanark and he scored a hat trick, I believe, against Dumbarton during the week. And off the back of that, the commentary in the Stranraer TV. Well, if you got the full song there, John. You got the full song, right? Well, it speaks for itself. There you go.
Darren Lang. And it's Darren Lang with number five. It's bang, bang, Darren Lang for number five.
They call him bang, bang, Darren Lang. When you need a goal, Darren Lang is your man. His name is bang, bang, Darren Lang. He's gonna do all that he can because he's Darren Lang.
Now, this is AI generated, I believe.
It is.
Which is scary, more than anything. And they've written a whole song about Darren Lang, who's the Stranraer striker, and
fed into AI, they came up with this.
Yeah, I mean, it's an absolute tune. I mean, listen to this.
Do you know what it sounds like? It sounds like a kids' TV cartoon from the 90s, doesn't it?
Well, I thought it was like
Power Rangers or something.
Yeah. I thought it was like, you know how South Park sometimes do their funny wee songs? I think it sounds like that. So, Darren Lang, the Stranraer striker that nobody knew before last week, apart from those Dumbarton and Stranraer fans that got to watch him last week. But we will be watching out for Darren Lang between now and the end of the season. And we'll also put him over to Joe Biden because he's our League 2 expert, obviously.
Darren Lang.
AI is scary.
It's going to ruin
us. I mean,
us
this
all.
Is only just the beginning of AI, and they can
it
do stuff.
It starts
like
off with a song about Darren Lang, and then it ends up with robots taking over the world.
It ends up with Skynet blowing up the world.
I know we're going off topic here. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe that AI will kill us?
No, probably.
Yeah, the Terminator told us so.
But do you genuinely believe?
iRobot.
I mean, the problem. I mean, I think this is probably a deeper discussion we'd probably have to have on this, to be honest, Ewan.
No, but I'm just saying, generally speaking, if you think about it, do you think AI, not in our lifetime, but do you think ultimately AI will destroy us as a human race?
I think AI will destroy people's jobs and industries, like in the next 20 years. I think, yeah.
And then we'll just get a living wage, just to
probably. Yeah.
But then how do the people who've got robots make money?
Well, through through the living wage and all that.
Oh, the living wage and stuff, because we have to go out and buy their products and everything. Exactly. Yeah, and then they get more money, but then that...
I was listening to something recently about OpenAI, who are the folk behind, you know, the big AI projects like ChatGPT and all the rest of it. And they reckon they'll be worth tens of trillions of dollars, these companies. Like, they'll make Facebook and Google and Amazon look like, you know, corner shops in comparison. So
I also read as well that this is where I think AI will be very good, is that they could actually help cure some diseases and all that stuff. AI could ultimately do that.
The problem is that AI only has capability as far as what you can feed into it.
But then whatever you feed into it, it will create scenarios and it will give you it'll problem solve for you.
They're not at that stage yet.
No, but it'll get there.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll come up...
But that's the thing, again, what I was listening to, they're like, they're 90% there, but the hardest bit's the final 10%.
Aye. A bit like we don't use all of our brain.
Let's be honest, right, just to round this off, Ewan, we've already given our League 2 report over to AI.
Yeah. Scary.
Don't say that. You're giving it away.
Nobody's daft, John.
Well,
do you think there'll come a point where me as a radio presenter and a podcast presenter and the likes of Stephen Mill, do you think that we will become redundant one day?
It's happened already. People are using AI for travel reports and such like.
But what about my witty banter and all that? AI can't do that.
They can't replicate that. You're right. They can't replicate
They can't replicate my witty banter.
They can't.
And my
maybe that, but again, you're probably hastening the AI advance by saying that as well, saying that
they can't do it.
Yeah. Right, let's move on. John, you got some. There we are.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast.
We have to sing the tune again.
Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Time for Start Sub Sell. And this, by the way, is the final Start Sub Sell.
Are we ending it?
We're ending it. There is one more to come, which we'll set up today. But let's do last week's. And it was basically Alex Ferguson, Jose Mourinho, Pep Guardiola.
I hated this. Do you know why I hated this? Again, I hate that people on Twitter, and you, Stephen, and producer John, with the clips that you put out and the things that you say, everything that I say gets misconstrued and misrepresented. I was asking a question. I wasn't offering an opinion. There is a difference between an opinion and a question.
It was a question.
If I say to you, Stephen, what time did you get up this morning? That's a question.
Yeah.
If I say, I think that you go up around 20 past eight, that's an opinion. That's what I think.
It's a guess.
It's a guess. So there's a huge difference. So what I said last week about Sir Alex Ferguson was clearly a question. And it's been...
No. What you said last week was... Alex Ferguson a checkbook manager?
A question!
And then you went on to back up that your opinion on that.
No, it wasn't an opinion.
Yes, it was.
No.
I was playing devil's advocate.
No devil's advocate. Then you went on to reel off facts and figures.
Oh, and then there was buying Juan Sebastian Ferron and Rio Ferdinand and all the rest of it. So you were very much of that opinion and you were dressing it up as a question. I know your way. The Celtic Way got in touch. Ewan's checkbook manager thing for Sir Alex doesn't stand up, by the way. Manchester United have been the total top net transfer spenders for 3 years. Between 2008 and 2011, during his tenure.
What?
That's a fact.
Oh, you're taking that as gospel from somebody who just tweeted you. You're taking that as gospel.
I also sent you something
last
week.
Why didn't you research it? Why just listen to him?
No, because I'm going to back it up with my thing. I sent you something yesterday, and it's from the Swiss Ramble, which is an account on Twitter that does lots of financial stuff and all the rest of it. Liverpool were the highest spenders for both wages and transfers throughout the 90s. Like, it wasn't even close. Liverpool were the top spenders, where Alex Ferguson was just hoovering up
the
titles.
So you're going to listen to somebody in Switzerland and somebody else on Twitter?
The Swiss know their financial affairs.
You think?
Yeah, they do.
Right.
Famously.
It could be somebody pretending to be Swiss.
Right, okay. Wee Scottish guy says, start Pep to pick the lineup. Sub Fergie for Fergie time winner and sell Jose for being a huffy bam and not starting or being a sub. All three managers spent millions because they had opportunity the best clubs going. That's what I said to you last week. The only reason that Ferguson, that Pep Guardiola, that Mourinho, that Walter Smith, the only reason they got to the top and could spend all that money is because they were good managers. They wouldn't be there otherwise.
Oh, how great are you? Oh, I said that last week. Oh, I'm amazing.
And the top clubs have the most money to spend. So that's
it. Do you want to tell me something I don't know?
Well, you didn't seem
to know. Do you want to tell me something that I don't know? Don't you think I realise that?
You didn't seem to know it last week.
Pep Guardiola went and spent £50 million each on two fullbacks. I know what he does.
Yep. That doesn't make him not a good manager, though.
I never said that. I never said so. That's a good manager.
That's the whole point in this. Start Sub Sell.
Just read out the messages.
Morris says, start Sir Alex. Shouldn't even be a competition with the other two. The man just wins regardless where he goes, money or not. Sub Jose, need that shithousery and always good for a one-liner. And sell Pep. He's the true definition of a money manager.
What, Pep Guardiola?
According to Morris. Pro Turf Care says, start Sir Alex, best manager ever, got the most out of players and man management was outstanding. Sub Jose was the special one for a period of time. Achievements with Porto, Chelsea, Real, United speak for themselves, and sell Pep. Hand-picked fantastic situations at all these clubs, apparently. Dave said, start Alex, he's the godfather of football and played the largest part of his career for Falkirk. Sub Jose, great for some late shithousing to see out the game, and sell Pep. pretty much revolutionised football into a turgid passing game, according to Dave.
Did you not watch Liverpool Man City yesterday? That was one of the games of the season, if not the decade.
I think that Man City are a bit boring.
Oh, controversial.
I agree.
They're a bit boring. Now, fantastic football players, like, don't get me wrong, they're a bit boring to watch. Andy starts, because they're probably so much better than everyone else. They're so much better. In general, obviously Liverpool and Arsenal and that would disagree, but in general, like playing Copenhagen in the Champions League, not interested in watching that.
I didn't watch it.
No interest. No interest. Andy says, start Sir Alex to build about five different teams at one club whilst always achieving success won't happen again. Bench Pep, best modern day manager in the world by a light year, and sell Mourinho was good 20 years ago, but no elite club touches him now. Gary says, start Sir Alex, best ever sub Jose, only cause Sir Alex is the best ever. Sell Pep, overrated and had everything on a plate in all three of his jobs, could never have done what the other two have done. And Martin says, start Pep, look to control the game from the start. Sub Sir Alex can help you out if you're chasing the game. Well, a wee bit of Fergie time, and sell Jose, he's made enough from being sacked. About time someone made some money back from him leaving their club. Jamie says, start Ferguson because he's Scottish, bench Mourinho because he won the Champions League with Porto, a bigger achievement than winning it with one of the usual teams, and sell Pep because he's a baldy prick. Spooky Hoop not my opinion, Jamie's. Spooky Hoop says, start Sir Alex, he'd probably be the team captain. Sub on Jose when you need to see the game out, and sell Pep because he's just not on the level of the other two. Ferguson and Jose built world class teams. Pep buys world class teams, according to Spooky Hoop. Not my opinion. So based on your votes, it's the following: starting Sir Alex, subbing Jose, and binning Pep.
Here's a question for you. If Rangers win the league, Celtic will sack Rodgers because the fans will not have it.
Yeah.
Right? They'll be under a lot of pressure. Does Jose come in?
Don't think so.
They've got the money. They could easily bring They could easily bring him in.
I don't think Jose Mourinho.
But is it, I think one of the boys in those messages is right. A top club, i.e., like a Liverpool or a Man United or an AC Milan or an Inter Milan, a Barcelona.
Yeah, I know what you mean. To be fair, I do kind of agree. I think Mourinho.
Could he?
I think Mourinho's kind of done.
See when Rodgers left Liverpool, I never in a million years thought he'd end up at Celtic.
He's more likely to go to Saudi and
you think?
Earn about £300 million a year or something.
I'd be interested to see what he'd say if Celtic knocked on his door.
Yeah, well,
Dermot Desmond's got pool. He's got pool and power because he had that with Rodgers.
Yeah, but
I know Pep is on the slide,
I do think Mourinho's a step up from Rodgers. Like, Mourinho's won everything, everywhere.
Yeah, no, but the job at Roma, I know he won the Europa Conference League, but
got to the final Europa League
last year and got beat, didn't he?
Yeah. I think he did an alright job.
But nobody's banging on his door to sign him up, are they?
No, I think he might end up at Newcastle.
That's a good shout, Eddie Howe.
I think Eddie Howe probably.
See you out to the end of the season and then bring Mourinho.
I think Mourinho will probably be in there, I would imagine. Right, thank you very much for all your correspondence. The final ever start sub sell is this.
This is a good one.
Stephen Mill, Ewan Cameron, and Jose Kitongo. Start sub sell. Stephen Mill, Ewan Cameron, and Jose Kitongo.
Now, we can't debate this.
No, we can't, because we're biased.
We're going to be biased, because I'm going to be starting myself every time, because I've been there, done it, got the T-shirt. When I was on the Real Radio Football phone, and I had huge success, massive success. I was beating the likes of Clyde One Super Scoreboard and the BBC and Jim Traynor. We had the number one football show.
This is the Real Football Phone-In with Ewan Cameron and Alan Ruff. Call now on 0845 100 2101.
Some of the interviews that I did during my time on the Real Radio Football phone and made front page headlines, not just back page headlines.
That's when papers mattered.
And that was like interviews with like David Murray and Peter Lawwell, etc. Bertie Vogts, David Taylor, who's the SFA chief executive at the time. So,
I thought you said we're not going to debate this, and then you're just reeling off your LinkedIn CV.
Yeah. So I'm brilliant. So I've got to start.
Well, I mean, I'm starting Jose.
You're even starting yourself?
No.
I'm starting me.
I know my place. So
you know your place?
That's fine. I'm comfortable. I'm not egotistical like you are. So I'm starting Jose because I think Jose is amazing. He's great. He's a great laugh. Great guy.
I tick those boxes.
And everybody loves him.
Well, that's not the case with me.
So Jose has to start. Now, obviously, you have me on the bench to keep things sort of... I can see the game out pretty well. I can keep things under control. And we sell you because you're a disruptive influence in the dressing room. So, start sub-sell. Stephen Mill, you and Cameron, and Jose Kitongo. You can get your answers in on @BigFootballScott, Twitter, Facebook, and Insta. Thank you very much for all your comments that came in over the last week. There was quite a funny one as well that I was looking at last week. I mean, a lot of them are just like Ewan as a spoonhead. Oh, here's one with a funny name. I thought Stephen was a plonker, but the podcast has changed my opinion. Sorry for judging you. So thank you very much.
Cheers, bud.
That you no longer think I'm a plonker.
Here's the thing. See, when we put it out on Twitter and Facebook next week, wonder what pictures producer John will use to ask which people you want to start sub-sell.
Good question. Indeed.
But I want a say on the picture you use.
No,
of me.
No, that doesn't
absolutely
happen.
No chance. No. So @BigFootballScott on Twitter. You can get us, as Ewan says, on Facebook and Instagram as well, and you can leave your comments on YouTube, which is perfect. Just search for Clyde One Super Scoreboard on YouTube. You'll see all the Clyde One Super Scoreboard stuff. We've got our own video channel as well. Make sure you subscribe so that every time we do the podcast, it just drops straight into your inbox. Same with Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever it is. And of course, Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the air, on FM and on your Alexa and all that stuff as well, from 6 p.m. every single midweek night, taking your calls on 01419511025 with Gordon Duncan and everyone else. And then on a Saturday, we are on as well with the Big Saturday Football Show. We're on 4th1 West FM, TFM, MFR, and North Sound 1 with former Hibs and Aberdeen striker Steve Cowan every single Saturday from 2. Time to phone the main man.
Oh, are we phoning him?
John, what are you doing today?
Oh, he's... What? Just...
I'm having a nightmare. Today.
You're having a nightmare, right? We'll see. It's a wee bit late, actually. Jose. I think we're quite late in phoning Jose today.
Come on, Jose.
It is late.
Nah, he's not going to answer today.
Nah, I don't think so. It's too late.
Nah.
Thank you, boys. How you doing?
Are you in the car?
I'm in the car. I'm driving to airport to drop my mother and my daughter. She's going to go to Birmingham.
Oh, nice
one. Birmingham, okay.
So they're in the car just now?
Yeah, they're in the car.
Hi, everyone.
It's so nice in here. My daughter, he's well.
So that means we're going to have to keep it clean this week. So, Ewan, over to you.
Listen, just talk, no problem.
No problem. Jose, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Sir Alex Ferguson, Jose Mourinho, or Pep Guardiola, who's the better manager?
For me, I go Alex Ferguson.
Of course. It's the correct answer. Yeah. Well done, Jose.
Miles away.
Okay, what about this as well? So we do a game, and you'll remember it from a few weeks ago, called Start, Sub, Sell, Jose.
Okay.
So you're starting a player, you're subbing a player, and you're selling somebody. But this week we're doing it something slightly different. Start, okay. Sub, sell, Stephen Mill, Ewan Cameron, and Jose Kitongo.
Ale mole mole.
Who are you starting, Jose, out of those three?
Oh, you're crazy, man. Jose, I start myself.
Yay! Okay, and who's the substitute?
Boy, oh man, listen, draw. I can't answer that question.
Oh, Jose, I didn't think you'd sit on the fence like that. If this influences you, I would start you as well.
Yeah, but I love you too. Yeah. I love you too. I'm just gonna.
Yeah, but Jose. I've known you for 15 years. You've known Stephen Mill for about 2 minutes.
Exactly. I just make a big impression on people. That's what it is.
No, listen, I know, but I just feel Stephen, you know what I mean? You, Steve, I don't explain. I love you too, man.
Oh, come on. Right, Jose, we'll let you go, and we'll speak to you next week, okay?
Okay, boys.
Bye, Jose. Bye. Jose, Jose. Jose.
15 fucking years I've known him.
I know, but I'm just...
15 years, he's known you for 2 minutes.
You know, time waits for nobody, Ewan, and you are yesterday's man. Right, let's move on to Scottish football's even harder, hardest question. Lots of questions coming in about this question. Here it is. What is the connection between Morris Malpass and Fernando Torres? My friend Rory, who is usually shit hot at this.
Is he shit this week?
Hasn't got it.
Anywhere? Is he close? Rory, that suggests you might be on the right lines with that little...
No, I mean, the thing is, like, it's unfair because he obviously just messages me direct and I just usually say yes or no.
Okay.
And then he asks me, like...
Specifics.
He asks me, like, a steer. So, like, that's why he doesn't count if he gets it right.
Okay.
Because he's got a direct line to me.
Yes.
Whereas everyone else doesn't. I don't think that's fair. So, what's the connection between Morris Malpass and Fernando Torres? Connor Mack, 4494, says Malpass and Torres both shared a pitch with Stephen Thompson. Malpass is his teammate from 96 to retirement.
Yeah.
And Torres, Liverpool versus Burnley in September 2009.
Thompson, yes.
David says, both of them have never been on the losing side against Barcelona in a European competition.
Great stat.
Kevin says, they were both 35 when they scored their last professional goal.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And just starting out, 76-8 says the connection between Morris Malpass and Fernando Torres is they both admired Atletico Madrid growing up. One of Torres' earliest memories was watching the great Dundee United team beat Barcelona with a rampaging Malpass tearing the Spanish apart. Bizarrely, I watched the highlights of both those matches last week on YouTube. If you've never seen Dundee United beating Barcelona,
so good,
at Tannadice and then going to New Camp, Gary Lineker was playing up front for Barcelona and stuff as well. Malpass was unbelievable. Sturrock was amazing.
The goal he
John
scored.
Holt as well, just absolute legend. People forget just what a team Dundee United had. This is going back to the comment. And they've gone from strength to strength, going to be the first one. Barcelona have gave all their money to some wee guy and over £1 billion. How the tables have turned. And someone else saying they both know Ewan's a fud. I'm not sure they do, actually. Maybe Morris Malpass does.
I think Morris does.
Yeah, I don't think Fernando Torres does. I can tell you, none of them are the right answer.
Is anyone close? Just say that because there's so many answers there. So many good ones.
I'm swithering whether to give a steer or not because it's meant to be hard.
Yeah, I know, but there's so many there that they could... You just say somebody was close but not close enough or no cigar or whatever. Don't give a name. Just
no,
say...
No, I'm not. I'm debating whether to give this.
Right, so clearly,
it's not even a clue. But it's so much as don't overthink it.
Right.
That's my clue. Don't overthink it.
Okay.
Don't overthink it.
That's a wee clue.
What's the connection between Morris Malpass and Fernando Torres? Don't overthink it. It's Scottish football's even harder, greatest harder question. And hopefully someday we'll get the answer. And hopefully I'll get 5 answers correct on the quiz, which is coming up right now. Okay. Let's flip the coin and see who's going first. Ewan,
go.
You can call.
Tails.
It is tails.
I'll go first.
You go first all the time.
Yeah, because I win the fucking toss, that's why.
Right, producer John is our quiz master. It's 5 questions. It is 21-6 because it was another draw last week. Ewan gets his movie ones and I get my football questions because basically I was hammering them too much on the football questions and he still can't beat me.
The last 2 weeks I'm unbeaten. I'm on an unbeaten streak.
Yeah, but you still haven't beaten me.
Doesn't matter, I'm unbeaten.
You're effectively getting a specialist subject.
Well, football's a specialist subject as well, for you and me.
Well, not for you. I mean, the evidence would suggest clearly...
I mean, it's not really specialist, it's such a wide breadth, isn't it? It's just like football, it's
so
a wide breadth.
It's 5 questions, back and forth. Ewan's going first, I'll go next. We'll go back and forth, like a penalty shootout.
Yeah.
If it's still all square at the end, we'll take our top bin questions if we haven't taken them already.
Yes.
And the top bin questions are worth 2 points if you take them during the normal shootout.
Right.
So, producer John, take it away.
Eye the tiger! Bring it on!
People starting to get ratty and say it shouldn't be a draw because a shootout... Actually, in football, is never a draw. So
I'm happy with a draw.
Okay, you're happy with it. You're happy to take a point.
Ewan. I'm happy just to stay unbeaten.
Right, Ewan. First question for you on your movies. Sam Smith sang the Bond theme for which film? Which Bond film did Sam Smith sing the theme to?
Writings on the Wall was
That's not the name of the film.
Yeah, Stephen, do you think I don't know that?
That'd be a good top bin question. How many Bond films don't mention the title?
Oh, that is a good question.
The writing's on the wall. The writing's on the wall. Is it Spectre? Quantum of Solace? No, it's not Quantum of Solace because I think that's your man, Jack White, for Quantum of Solace. I think it's Spectre. Which one did Adele do? What was the name of the Adele one?
Goldeneye.
Stephen, I'm talking to myself, right?
Sorry, I thought you were asking me. I might be way off with that.
Casino Royale. Is that David Arnold? Or is that The Writing's on the Wall? The Writing's on the Wall. Which one did Adele do?
Say, Octopussy, I think.
I know I've said the movie. I can't remember which one Sam Smith did. Writing's on the Wall. The Writing's on the Wall.
Oh, hurry up, Ewan. Just pick one.
The Writing's on the Wall. Spectre. Is it Spectre? Is that too early? Is that late on? Casino Royale. Which one did Judi Dench die? M. Is that another plot hole I've given away?
No, it's a spoiler.
Spoiler. Aye, spoiler.
Just pick one, Ewan. Well, this is the first question. We can't be spending hours on it.
Spectre, final answer.
Spectre, final answer.
Yes! Oh, I wasn't expecting that! Forget him!
Writing's on the wall.
My name's Cameron, Ewan Cameron, get in.
Jesus Christ. Stephen, how many times have Raith Rovers beat Dunfermline this season? No, I'm only kidding, it's not that one. Five, by the way. Five.
Fuck off, John.
Who was Scotland manager prior to Craig Brown?
Oh.
Andy Roxburgh, final answer.
Oh, so it is. Yeah, good show. There was no interim. Was there an interim?
No.
No, okay.
There wasn't. It was back in those days, you just get from the SFA and it was like a kind of route, wasn't it?
I think, to be fair, Craig Brown was interim.
Assistant.
Yeah, because he was Roxburgh's assistant and then he became interim and then they just gave him the job.
Ah, right, okay.
I think that's what
go on.
Who directed Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch?
Jesus Christ, John.
Guy Ritchie, final answer. You just got the fucking manager of Scotland before Craig
Jesus
Brown?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's amazing how he moans about that. It's amazing how he moans about that. But who was the Scotland manager before Craig Brown? Come on.
I think you'll find this one easy, though, Stephen. What club was Theo Bear at before he joined Motherwell?
St Johnston.
See?
That could have been difficult if I didn't know that.
It could have been difficult if you hadn't watched Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Right, go.
Don't mess with the questions.
Question three.
Right, question three for you, Ewan. What is Winston's surname in Ghostbusters?
I don't think I've ever seen Ghostbusters.
Shut up.
I don't think I have.
Really?
Maybe when I was a wee boy, but I can't even remember what happens.
It's an absolute classic film.
I mean, I'm aware.
When Winston comes in for the job interview...
And it's written on his boiler suit as well, isn't it?
I know.
Is it Winston Ingram? Churchill?
Right, John.
Yeah.
John.
Uh-huh.
When you ask him a question, at no point do I sit here...
I'm just trying to help you. It might be Ingram. Winston Ingram rings a bell for me. Churchill? That rings a bell as well. What's your pen? You've dropped your pen, Ewan.
Oh, yes.
That's dropped on the floor. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Why have I got... Is it Hudson?
Did Churchill still have the dog?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Hudson, final answer.
Winston Hudson.
And Marshall has saved! Yes!
Is it Churchill?
It's not Churchill. Ingram. It's Zedmore. Winston Zedmore. So Ray Stantz, Egon Spengler, Peter Vakeman. Right, Stephen. Which Scottish football team has the Latin Confidimus written on their badge? Which Scottish football team has the Latin Confidimus written on their badge?
Kilmarnock, final answer.
As well!
I know my Latin.
Shit. 3-2 to him. Question 4.
Right, Ewan. This is a film line, but which film is it from?
Mm-hmm.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Lion King.
Do you know what? It would actually work for
Lion King.
It's what Scar said to Simba.
Say that line again, mate.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Batman, final answer.
What Batman? I'm going to have to push you on this one.
You
I'm
going
to have to push you on this
no,
one.
No, there's about 15 Batman.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to push you.
Come on.
Yeah, you could.
No, you couldn't.
Yeah, because that's a fucking motto. If you say, may the force be with you.
I asked
every
what
fucking
film is it from, you? You can't just say Batman because there's been a lot of Batmans.
The Dark Knight, final answer.
The Dark Knight, final answer.
Get in! See you being all pedantic and
that's
shit.
That's not being pedantic.
It is.
So, like Batman with fucking George Clooney. I don't think it said that.
It doesn't matter, it's
Val
Batman.
Kilmer.
Batman, is the start of the...
No, it's not.
Right, anyway, it's what is it?
3-3.
3-3, question 4 for Stephen.
Yeah. Stephen.
Yeah.
How many grass pitches are in League One, Scottish League One?
That's a great question. Thanks for that, John. I think it's quite tough, that.
Okay.
Oh, there again, you skitter around the fucking lower leagues. You'll probably know the answer to that because your team's been there.
Very good. How many grass pitches? Not very many, I don't think, to be honest. Who we got? And then Edinburgh. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Shit, I'm missing a team. Queen of the South, they don't have one. So Falkirk, Plastic. Hamilton, Plastic. Montrose, Plastic. Alloa, Plastic. Cove, Plastic. Stirling, I think, are grass. Queen's, Plastic. Kelty, Plastic. Annan, Plastic. Edinburgh, Plastic. The answer's 1.
Well played, Stephen Miller. That is a tough question. Well played. Right, Ewan, I think you have to go for the top bin here, don't you?
No.
Right? No.
No, he could go and hope that I get the last one wrong.
That is true.
Like, if he's been a real shitebag... Or he can go for his top bin here and try and put the pressure. I mean, I wouldn't really put the pressure on me.
If I go for top bin, I've got a point clear, don't I?
Yeah, but then I've still got a question to go.
So to draw it.
I mean, it would put the pressure on me, but given you're a wee bit of shite bag, I don't think you'll go for the top bin question. You'll just go for your normal one and hope I get it wrong because you're a bit of a shite bag that way.
Top bin.
Oh, there he goes. He's taking the bait. Right, okay, Ewan.
Uh-huh.
How many Oscars did Forrest Gump win?
Did Zemeckis win it for Best Director? Hank's got it. Did it get Best Film? I think it did get Best Film. I think he got Special Effects because of the stuff that it did with JFK. 1, 2, 3, definite. Did Zemeckis get it for Best Director? You think if it was Best Film, the director would
see,
get it.
See, this is the thing, though. Like, with the Oscars, there's all these wee shitey awards that nobody knows. Like, Best...
Costume,
best,
stuff like that.
Aye, Best Costume and Best Lighting.
Definitely effects.
Best
Film, I think. Hank's definitely...
Catering.
Zemeckis, I'm going to have to say he got it because he's director. I think Zemeckis definitely got it. That's 4. I've definitely got 4. Did they get a 5th for cinematography, or was there something to do with their sets? And I think it's 4 or 5.
Oh God!
If I get this wrong, I lose, eh?
Yes. Yeah. That's why you might have been better just going for the normal.
Stephen shushed.
And then I could have always got the next one wrong anyway.
Special effects.
did they get something for cinematography? Did they get something for best set design and all that stuff? Did what's her name, Sally Field, get best supporting actress in that? Was there a best supporter in there as well? I think Sally Field might have got best supporting actress.
What's the lassie that played his girlfriend as well?
No.
Jenny?
No.
What's her name again? She was in...
1, 2, 3...
House of Cards.
4...
What's her name?
Oh!
5...
She was, wasn't she? She was...
Yeah, she played Jenny.
5. I think I'm now pushing towards 5, possibly 6.
Could be 7.
It's not, I don't think it's that many, mate.
Could be 7. Well, if you think Oppenheimer won 7.
We won 7 tonight, or last night.
Yeah.
Listen, I think...
Robin Wright, that's right.
I think Sally Field won Best Supporting. I think Zemeckis won Director. I think Hanks won Best Actor. I think it won Best Film. And I'm pretty sure it won Special Effects as well. That gives me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think it's 5 or 6. And I'm going to go with... Final answer... 5.
Final answer.
Yeah.
And Marshall is safe!
If you say 6, I'm going to be so upset.
It won Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Director, Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Visual Effects, and Best Film Editing. It was 6, however, Ewan.
Back to winning ways. The film quiz has not stopped me. It is 22-6 to me now, and everything is right in the world because I've won the quiz. So I'm sorry that I've gone a couple of weeks without winning. Obviously,
why are you apologising for no winning?
No, I'm
apologising on your behalf. Your patter is pish. Your patter is shit.
The cards are obviously stacked against me. They've had to change the quiz because you're so shite at it. But yeah, it doesn't matter. I still win. Champion of the quiz, 22-6, pumped again. He got it wrong, has no one else to blame. Yeah, and that's it.
Have a lovely week, everybody. And Moan the Hearts tonight against Morton is for you. You can get stuffed.
What do you mean? Oh, you're no throwing the dummy again. He's throwing the dummy again. He's away. Where's your bag? What? Where's the bag?
In the car.
Oh, he's left his car in the... He's left the bag in the car. Hope somebody's no broken it in the car and nicked it. Fat chance. Right, here we go. That is it from the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Thanks very much for listening, for watching, for taking part, for all your comments as well. You can leave them on YouTube at Big Football Scott. Get in touch for Start Sub Sell. Stephen Mill, Ewan Cameron, Jose Katongo, and also Scottish Football's even harder, hardest question. Get your answers in. What's the connection between Maurice Malpass and Fernando Torres? We'll catch you next week for another Big Scottish Football Podcast. Enjoy your week, everyone. Cheery bye from myself. He's away. You know, he's like, we get his bag.